Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
As the markets tank and the Congress sits on its hands over the bailout, the rest of the world is not waiting.
Emerging nations, poor nations who have done everything to have good fiscal policy and to keep their economy stable, should not be paying for the price for the American economy's casino-like policies. It is not fair to have countries in Latin America, Africa, or Asia pay for the irresponsibility of certain sectors of the American financial system.
That's Luiz Lula da Silva, the Brazilian president, speaking with a certain amount of anger about the inaction in the United States as markets tank and countries around the world suffer along with traders here in the United States. Joining us now to take a look at worldwide reaction to what's going on in the United States is Chrystia Freeland, who's the Financial Times executive editor. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
It's nice to have you back.
Very nice to be with you.
It seems like
we've been a little busy recently, though.
Yeah, I know. I see you all over the place. It's great. But the entire universe has changed since last we spoke about interest rates or some irrelevant business. Why don't you talk to me a little bit about what the rest of the world is feeling or where this impatience seems to come from world leaders who are looking at what's going on in Capitol Hill and on Wall Street?
A Chinese economist yesterday, and he said to me that in the same way that the war in Iraq discredited American foreign policy in the rest of the world, he feels that this financial crisis and the apparent inability of American leaders to deal with it is discrediting the American economic idea. I thought he put that really well.
Yet the irony here is that economists and finance ministers around the world are betting on the viability of the American economy as the way out of this mortgage mess. True?
Well, sure. I mean, the fact is the American economy is still the biggest economy in the world. Everyone else, like it or not, is economically dependent on America. And the other thing is that because we do have global capitalism today, and money does flow around the world very, very easily, these American toxic mortgages, which are at the heart of the financial problems everyone is experiencing, have now been sold to banks all around the world. And some of the weaknesses we're seeing in banks outside the United States are because they bought, you know, complicated financial instruments that were ultimately based on American mortgages on homes whose value has fallen very sharply over the past year.
Well, that part I certainly get. I guess the question for me is, what is the limit, as we hear all this international reaction, to finance ministers' patience with the dollar and treasury securities, these so-called ultra-secure financial instruments that they want to put their money into to escape the toxicity of mortgages? As Capitol Hill dithers, doesn't that have an impact on the dollar?
Well, you know, that is an excellent question. And throughout this financial crisis, and also as we have seen the American budget deficit grow, a warning from economists has been this can't carry on indefinitely. And at a certain point, the world will say, actually, we're not going to trust the dollar as our reserve currency anymore. Having said that, a paradoxical thing about the current crisis as it has intensified is actually it's become cheaper for the American government to borrow money. There have been some brief periods when actually the yield on Treasury bills has become negative. You've had to pay a little bit of money to the U.S. government to hold your money for you. So actually right now that, you know, what people talk about as a flight to quality is such a powerful driver that has overwhelmed maybe longer-term concerns about the U.S. currency.
Chrystia, in terms of the global markets, don't some of the other markets, the Asian markets, the European markets, have some problems of their own that are not necessarily directly tied to the subprime mortgage mess, but are simply compounded by it?
That's absolutely right. And, you know, yesterday was this amazing day in the markets because we had five banks around the world that were either bailed out or had some sort of government-facilitated rescue. Four of those banks were in Europe. And the European financial system, a lot of people believe, is really just at the beginning of the kind of crisis that the American financial system has been experiencing for a year already.
There's another bank today. There's another bank. The French and Belgian government stepped in to rescue a European bank today.
That's right. And, you know, they have, you know, part of this is based on that American toxic paper. Part of it is based on the liquidity crisis and just a total lack of confidence. But there also was a real estate boom in Europe, and a lot of the banks made bad bets on their own mortgages.
You know, argument we were having earlier on the program related to these credit markets and what's the best way of watching to see when they stop freezing up. You mentioned earlier that the federal government is actually being paid by banks to take money to keep it safe in treasury bills. The yield has gotten so low. What does it mean when, as I've read this morning, $100 billion in commercial paper has been pulled out of the credit markets? What does that mean tangibly for businesses around the world?
Really tangibly is businesses are having a very, very, very hard time borrowing short-term money. And there are a lot of businesses, just normal, ordinary businesses, have nothing to do with financial services, which, you know, because of seasonal reasons, perhaps, depend on being able to borrow money short-term. And that has become almost impossible. It's been almost impossible for nearly 2 weeks now. The question is whether at a certain point we start to see that freezing up of the credit markets have a real impact on the rest of the economy, you know, potentially in terms of businesses failing.
Credit freeze just in time for the holiday shopping season. Krista Friedland, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.